Beis Tevis, Zois Chanukah, 20th of December, Rabbi Meir Zev Rappaport, Hadlokas Neiros, Shel Yosef HaTzadik.
I'd like to discuss a topic that has to do with Zois Chanukah. So it's interesting ha'ora, interesting to note. Klal Yisrael were 210 years in Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
And we know that they reached the 49th level of Tumah. And yet, it's interesting that there is only one recorded incidence of intermarriage or intermarriage with the Mitzrayim in 210 years of Mitzrayim. We're talking about 10 million Yidden, at least 10 million Yidden be'erich. And we know that in today's day and age, in the last couple of hundred years, that whenever Yidden have totally sunk and left for Yiddishkeit, always, it's always been a breeding ground for intermarriage. Leider, Achmonos, we see so many Yidden today. What's pshat that in Mitzrayim, the 210 years of Yidden in Mitzrayim, they were godu ba'aroyus. They were never intermarried at all. There was no intermarriage. In fact, the one recorded instance in Torah is written so in order to point out to us that this was the one and only case. And we know that this was the mother of the Mekalev, the Megadev, who it says, v'hu ben ish mitzri, v'shem imoy, shloim is bas divri. And we know that who was the Mitzri? Who was the Mitzri? The Mitzri was the Mitzri that Moshe Rabbeinu killed b'shem Hashem. That when Moshe Rabbeinu, at the age of 13, went out into Mitzrayim to see his brother suffering, and he saw Ish Mitzri Maka Ish Ivri. This was the Mitzri. The Mitzri had got involved with the Shloim is Bas Divri, and he was beating up the husband. And we know that this was the Toitzor of it in the Midbar. Many years later, at least 67 years later, because Moshe Rabbeinu was 13, and when he came back to Mitzrayim, he was 80 years old. This was in the Midbar, so we're talking at least 67 years later, when the story of the Mekalev came out in the Midbar. This is a Tetzor of a Pribushim. But what's Taka Pshat, the blasphemer? This was the blasphemer. What's Taka Pshat? What was the source of the spiritual strength of Klal Yisrael, that they didn't succumb in all these 210 years, they didn't succumb to the test of immorality. Let's take a pshat in them. So, sorry? The Mitzrayim, I don't think they were there. Mitzrayim was known as the worst place. Mitzad, Aroyus, Mitzad Nus, there was no worse place than Mitzrayim. It was Yodua. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that with the Zorah, the priestess in Mitzrayim was terrible, yet the Yidden kept away. B'shinish Tashoinom, B'shinish Malbushom, and they were Godu Ba'aroyus. So if you want to look at the Mekor Esoenai El Hehorim, one has to look at the source of it, at the Ovis. However, the Ovis weren't in Mitzrayim. Yaakov was in Mitzrayim for a short Kufa. But Be'etzem, if we look at the Parsha of Yosef, so let's look at the Parsha of Yosef. We know that the Torah testifies about Yosef, Vayi Yosef yefei toyar v'yefei marer, that Yosef was exceedingly handsome both in form and in appearance. In fact, he was the image of his father Yaakov Avinu. Dmus duknoi shel Yosef kedmus duknoi shel Yaakov Avinu, and dmus duknoi shel Yaakov Avinu kedmus duknoi shel Adam Harishon. Looked like Adam Harishon. And Adam Harishon was created by the Rabbi Yishol himself. Therefore, inevitably, Yosef HaTzadik must have been beautiful. If Adam Rishon was created by Hashem, he must have been the picture of perfection. And if Yaakov looked like Adam and Yosef looked like Yaakov, so, versteitzach, Yosef looked beautiful. Now, when Yosef stands in front of Paroi, after he manages to decipher and to interpret the dreams, and Paroi is amazed at the Dvar Elokim of Yosef, and he says that Yosef said, Biladoi, Elohim Ya'aneh Shloim Paroi, number one. But Paroi saw it. And Paroi says turns to his servants and he says, "Hanim tzokolze yish asheru achalikim boy." Now, one word in that pasuk bothers me. Which word? Kozeh. The word kozeh that bothers me, because the word kozeh is used generally when we want to speak about a specific object. Where do we find in Chazal kozeh? Oh, zeh good kozeh re'eva kadesh. That means Akash Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Achodesh hazeh lochem." Rosh Chodesh Moshe Rabbeinu was unclear. So Hashem said to him, "Kozeh re'eva kadesh." When you point at something and you will talk about the object, you say kozeh. So what is Paroi saying about Yosef? Hanim tzok kozeh? Isha sheruach lekim boy? Should he not have said hanim tzok komoyhu, like him? Not kozeh, like this. What's this? It's not an object. It has a hefter. What's it does? So that needs explanation. That's one question. So let's try and understand it. So Yosef HaTzadik, the most beautiful person on earth, is paraded around Mitzrayim, Vayikra lefon of Avrech, Tzofnas Paneach, and we know that Bonois Tzoadu Alei Shur, that his beauty was so pulling that all the maidens in Mitzrayim wanted to catch a glimpse of the beauty of Yosef, including Dino's daughter, including Yosef's niece, whom the brothers wanted out. So Yaakov Avinu put a necklace on her, which said Bas Yaakov on it, and he hid her in the bushes. Malach Gavriel, I think, came, and he whisked her off to Mitzrayim, and she, Dino's daughter from Shechem, was adopted by Eishes Potiphar, and she was also up there, but she never had a gold necklace. She was an adopted girl. The only thing she had was Bas Yaakov, so she threw that down. Yosef saw it. And Yosef and they all lived happily ever after. Yosef married her, and he had Ephraim and Manasseh, who were both his sons and his great nieces. So his sons were his great nieces. Great nephews, sorry. His sons were his great nephews. Yeah, that's interesting to note. So it's therefore no wonder that Eishes Potiphar took a liking to Yosef HaTzadik. Interesting diuk that occurred to me. It says, the Psukim say, I don't have a Chumash here, but the Psukim say that Yosef was Matzriach when he came to the house of Potiphar, and everything in the hands of Potiphar he gave over to Yosef, and he ran his whole household. Everything was in Yosef Atzadik's hands. He ran the show. So what did Potiphar do with himself all day? Twiddle his thumbs. So Potiphar had nothing to do, sorry? He sat not, yeah. So I suspect not. So now, interesting diuk in the pasuk. Look at the words of the pasuk. Vayi achad vorim o'ele. And after these things, then Eishes Potiphar took a liking to Yosef. What's achad vorim o'ele? What's after these things? Which things? These things. What we just said. What the Pesukim just said. What did the Pesukim just say? That Potiphar gave everything to the Lo Yodam Be'umo Ki Malachem Asher Oichal. He retired. He did nothing. He sat and twiddled his thumbs. That's when Eishes Potiphar took a liking to Yosef. What happened to her husband Potiphar? The Teretz is, why did Eishes Potiphar take a liking to Yosef? Because a wife needs to see a husband was tut. He's productive. A wife respects a husband who's productive. If he's not productive, then she's going to lose interest in him, because she loses respect for him. So it's inevitable that she lost the interest in Potiphar. She turned to the one who was productive, who was Yosef, aside from Yosef's beauty. But it wasn't because Dafka, because we see Achad Vorim O'ele, Shteitim Posuk. That's the diuk that occurred to me. It's a shtickle message here. A person has to be productive. It's important not just for himself, but it's important for his family, for Shalom Bayis to be productive. Yes. Productive here means he's working, or he's learning, or he's doing something productive. If he's not working, if he's retired, then he's got to do. He's got to go to start the day the Torah way. He's got to learn Torah. That's being productive. It doesn't have to be start the day. It can be anything else also. Top. That's a side point. And yeah, so she took a liking to him, and the pasuk says as follows: Vayhi ke hayoyim azeh, vayovoy haboy solasos melachtoy, ve'ein ish man shabayis shom. Nobody was home. Why was nobody home? So Rashi tells us, why was nobody home? Yoim Edom, there was a pagan festival. And if you look at the Midrashim and look at Chazal, who describe the way Eishes Potiphar went about trying to to attract Yosef. It's mind-boggling. It's impossible. It's just to think how a young 17-year-old boy with no framework at all, nothing, with nobody to hold him strong, was able to withstand temptation. That's gadlus. That's mamish lemala miderech enosh. It's mamish the gadlus of Yosef. And the way she put perfumes in the house, and the descriptions of Chazal, the way she spent a year, a person could have gone meshuggah from such a thing. Yes. But Yosef withstood temptation. How did he manage? Tell us Chazal, that Bo'is Oshor, Nir'as Oloid Musdyuknoi Shel Oviv Bachaloi, that the image of his father appeared to him, Bachaloi, in the window. Now what is the significance of window? Why did it appear to him by the window? Not by the front door, not anywhere else, by the Bachaloi. Number one. Second, what was he doing by the window? What punkt? Chazal have to tell us it was by the window. Is it important for us to know it was by the window? That Chazal have to tell us? What's the significance of Bachaloi? There's a shtickle from the Imri Noyan. So he says as follows. He says, when did this incident take place? What day of the year was it in the Jewish calendar that this incident took place? When did it take place? Sorry? Oh, very good guess. Zoktim Rinoim, it took place today. Today, Zois Hanukkah, the day we are standing on. That's when it took place. If that's the case, this I saw in the Shule Pinchas Friedman, who writes beautifully, beautifully about this, and this is what I'm basing myself on here. He suggests, therefore, we can suggest that what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing by the window, what Yosef was doing by the window. But what was Yosef doing by the window? Yosef saw his father by the window. What was Yosef doing looking out of the window? He saw his father by the window. He was looking, what was he doing by the window? And why do we need to know it was by the window? It's important for us to know it was by the window. What was he doing? He was lighting Hanukkah candles. Yeah? He said, Nishkavitz. The others kept Kolatoy Rekulo, no? Afilo Erev Tafshilin. Tchumin, Erev Tafshilin, Erev Tchumin. Yeah, if you're going to this Ayin Tov, if you understand it's Erev Tafshilin, they kept the Rabbanans also. So they kept Hanukkah also. So it was Zois Hanukkah, Zok the Imri Noyam, this took place in Zois Hanukkah. Yeah, the reading of today, Zois Hanukkah Samizbeach, it took place. Venira Saloid Must Yukne Shalovi Bachaloin. Now, if we think about the non-Jewish calendar, so if it took place on Zois Hanukkah, so if I were to ask you, so what is this Yoin Edom? Nobody was at home, says the Pasuk, because they were all in the Beis Tiflo. They were all in the Beis Tiflo, it was Yoim Edom, nobody was there. She feigned illness in order that she knew it was an opportune moment where nobody would be at home. What was the Yoim Edom? So, yet it wasn't invented then yet. But the Gemara with the Zorah Daf Ches Omed Aleph tells us the following. It's a Mishnah, it's a Gemara. And the Gemara in Avodah Zorah Ches Omed Aleph describes a pagan festival. Saturnalia. Oh, Saturnalia. There's a festival, it was a pagan festival, which the Gemara speaks about, called Saturna, and which occurs for 8 days before the winter solstice. What date is it? What's the English date today?
20th.
So we're holding
tomorrow's
the winter solstice. So Saturna is a pagan festival that occurs 8 days before the winter solstice, and followed by 8 days after the solstice with a festival called Calenda. Calendar, which is where the word calendar comes from. And culminating with calendar of January. And the Gemara ascribes the origins of this festival to Adam HaRishon. What happened? Adam HaRishon, Chet Adam HaRishon, which we're all suffering from till this day. So Chet Adam HaRishon, and Adam HaRishon notices that the days are getting shorter and shorter and shorter, the nights are getting longer. Adam HaRishon is convinced that the world is descending into total darkness because of Chet Adam HaRishon. And he was afraid that the world was returning to chaos, to Toyu Vavoyu. That's what's happening. That's what he thought. The world is slowly descending back into Toyu Vavoyu because of Chet Adam HaRishon. He failed his test, and that's it. The world is over. And so he sat down, and he fasted for 8 days. He fasted for 8 days. Once he saw that the days started getting longer again, after the winter solstice on the 21st, suddenly he saw the world, the day's getting longer again. He realized, no, it's the natural cycle of the world. And so he made 8 days of celebration. Says the Gemara that this festival later was turned into a pagan festival of Saturna and calendar. So says the Gemara. This Gemara, my good Yadid, my Chavrusa, Mark Nerden, he pointed this Gemara out to me, showed me this Gemara in Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Maral speaks about it, he said.
How would you do that, timekeeping-wise? That would be some sophisticated way of looking at the time. It's very minuscule minutes.
I don't know. All I can tell you, I remember when I was a little child, and we were a Friday night in Liverpool, and I said to my father, what time is it? And Reb Meir Posel was there in Liverpool, so he said to me, ask him what the time was. So I asked him the time, so he looks, and he said to me what the time was. So Yechveis, Mestama Yosef HaTzadik was Adam Arishin. Adam Arishin. What's this, Adam? We begin to understand Adam Arishin. I'll call upon Oifen. So we have now, we've suggested, we've established, based on the Imri Noyan, that this day, what day was it? In the Jewish calendar, it was Zoyz Chanukah. And it fits beautifully that it was Yom Edom. Rashi says it was a pagan festival. Presumably, it was the pagan festival that was discussed here in the Gemara of Chesamad Aleph of Saturna and calendars, culminating with the calends of January. This is the pagan festival. That was probably where they were celebrating, the Savoy Disorder. And he was standing by the window in order to light Chanukah. Now, there is a very strong allusion to this in the Pasuk. First of all, Chaloin. Chaloin is Rosh Hashanah, Nun Ches, Neiris Chanukah, Lamed Vov, which is 36. That's the first thing. Let's take it further. Vayikayoy Mazeh, Vayovoy Aboyso Lasois Melachtoy. Lasois. The gematria of Lasois is?
806.
The gematria of Shemen Zayis. Sorry? Good guess. Yeah. 807, right? 807. 806, 807 is the same, Rabbi said, because imakoilel, it's all the same. So the gematria of Lasois is the gematria of Shemen Zayis. So Vayovi Aboiso, Lasois Melachto, he came home to do his work. Rashi says Melachto is either Melacha Mamash, or he came Taka to be with her, but Lasois, he came home to do the Shemen Zayis, the Avodah of the Shemen Zayis, to light his Chanukah candles. Melachtoi is gematria? Okay, I see that the Olam are still... Sorry?
497.
The gematria of Zayis Chanukah is? Sorry? Very good, I see. We've got mathematical geniuses here, that's I can see. 497. The gematria of Melachtoi is Zayis Chanukah. So Vayovo Yaboiso Lasois Melachtoi. Lasois is Shemen Zayis. Melachtoi is Zayis Chanukah. It was Taka Zayis Chanukah. Now, there is a gewaldike diuk in the posuk. Which word in the posuk is odd? Sounds odd. Sounds grammatically.
Ke hayoy mazeh.
If I were to say it, I would have said vayehi hayoy. One fine day, right? When we say one fine day or once upon a time, what's vayehi ke hayoy mazeh, like this day? Where else do we find the words ke hayoy mazeh, Rabbosai? Where else do we find the words ke hayoy mazeh? Sorry?
It's the end of a posuk. Something.
Where else do where else do we find the words Kayoy Mazeh? Sorry? Kayoy Mazeh. Sorry? I'm surprised that nobody can tell me on the spot. Where? Huh? By where? Kayoy Mazeh, those words. Rabbosai, you've said it a good numerous times in the last 8 days. At least 3 times a day you've said it. And sometimes in Michas Amozen if you ate bread. Like this day, as of this day. And here you find the allusion again that this was on Chanukah, this took place on Chanukah. Now let's take it a bit further. What is the gematria, the numerical value of Yosef? 156. The gematria of Melech Yovon? 156. The gematria of Antiochus? 156. Because Yosef is the antidote to Melech Yovon, to Antiochus. By the way, the Yovonim, what did they worship, the Yovonim? They worshipped the body, the guf. Yeah? Yosef HaTzadik had a guf which was far exceeding of any of their Olympic runners. Yosef HaTzadik was the epitome of beauty. Nobody could say that they didn't have the beauty of Yosef HaTzadik, but that wasn't what was important by him. What was important by him was Elokus, was the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And the Yosef, the antidote to Melech Yovon. Why is Yosef the antidote to Melech Yovon? Well, we'll explain in a minute, but let's take it further. V'yakov o'av es Yosef mikol echov, ki ben zekulim hu loy. Loy is again 36, which are the 36 lights. Chaloy neichanike lamed vov. V'osa loy ketoynes pasim. He made for him ksoynes pasim. Ki ben zekulim hu is gematria. I'll save you the headache. Menoira. Ki ben zekulim. Who is the gematria of Menorah? Loi is 36, and Menorah with 36 candles. The Osoloi is the same gematria as 417, is the gematria of Zayis. What's going on here? The Pasuk Shleitim Pasuk, when did Yaakov Ovinu see it fit to leave the house of Lavan and to face Esav, the adversary, the Sitra Achra, the Sotom? When? When Yosef was born. Why? Because by Yibes Yaakov Esh. Ubeis Yosef Lahovo, Ubeis Esav Lekash. And the gematria of Esav Lekash is 807, which is Shemen Zayis. So the way to burn Esav is through the Shemen Zayis, 807. And in fact, the gematria of Yaakov Yosef, is Neichanikah. The gematria of Yaakov Yosef is Neichanikah. It's 338 plus 339 is the gematria of Neichanikah. So, the idea of the apostle, the idea is that Ubayhi Beis Yaakov Eish, Ubayhi Yosef Lahovo, Ubayhi Esav Lekash. Esav, Yovon, Antiochus, Mitzrayim, which symbolizes the ra, the evil, the negative, whether it be Aroyus, whether it be Znus, whether it be the worship of the goof, whether it be Avodah Zarah, whatever the case is, the antidote is Vayhi Beis Yaakov Esh U Beis Yosef Lahovo, the Avodah of Yaakov and the Avodah of Yosef. And now we begin to understand what it means that Rod Must Yukni Shel Aviv Bachaloin. He saw the image of his father by the window when he was lighting Hanukkah candles in Zos Hanukkah by the window on this very day. Kehayoyim Hazeh. Vayikayoyim Hazeh Vayovi Aboiso. He came home Lasos, the Shemen Zayis, Melachtoi, to do his work, which is on Zos Hanukkah, and Rod Must Yukni Shel Aviv Bachaloin. Yaakov, Vayi Beis Yosef, Beis Yaakov Eish. This is the Eish, the light of the candles. Ubeis Yosef Lahovo. Then Beis Esav Lekash. So the connection between Yaakov Yosef, which is Neichanikah, and the menorah in the center, tying them together, that is what gave him the koiches hanefesh to overcome the most unbelievable temptation of Eishes Potiphar, which symbolizes the ra. This is the spiritual, the source of the spiritual strength that the Yidden had in Mitzrayim over 210 years, that not a single Yid, bar one, succumbed to temptation. And we live in a generation where the Esav is creeping through the Chaloyus. Olam Moves B'Chaloyneinu. That it's coming, it's crept into our homes. Esav has crept into our homes. We are living with that temptation here. We're living with the Nisyonis of Esav, with the Nisyonis of the Yevonim, with the Nisyonis of Mitzrayim, trying to cause us to intermarry into the Ra. That's what's happening here. And the antidote is Vayhi Beis Yaakov Eish Beis Yosef Lahovo. We put our menorahs by the window Bachaloin today on Zos Hanukkah, and we say to the Esav, you stay outside, Esav, because there's a fire here which is going to burn you down if you try and enter here. That's the symbolism, that's the yesod of the Neiras Hanukkah, which shines forth, the Kedusha shines out at the entrance of our homes. As if it's a state, Hadudoim Nosnu Reach, Val Pesochenu, Kol Megodim, This is referring to Neir Chanukah. This is referring to the Neir Chanukah that shines forth, shines out, and protects our homes. This is the Mesoira that we have Mosul Lonu Midoir Doir of the Kabbalah Mirabiseinu Mirabiseinu that Rod Musdukni Shal Oviv the Neir Chanukah, which Chazal Vekoiveya. And if we always keep that image of Rod, of our fathers, lighting the Chanukah candles in the most difficult and trying times when it's b'shas sakona, you're allowed to put it into the house. And when it's no sakona b'chaloyim, or even by the entrance of the houses, we keep that image of the Mesirus Nefesh they had for Yiddishkeit. That will keep us away from Esav and from the Ram as well. And mitzvah Hashem, we should be zoicha to the gewaldike oir, the oir of Mashiach, where we will be zoicha to light the menorah in the base binyan, base hamikdash, meher b'yameinu. Amen.